Okay, so last week we started Perek Aleph of Sefer Yehoshua. I think we went through the first seven psukim or so. And most of the psukim at the beginning of Perek Aleph of Sefer Yehoshua is basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu encouraging Yehoshua. We know the beginning talks about the fact that Moshe died and Yehoshua is really replacing Moshe. And as we discussed, he's a real Talmud of Moshe. We discussed some of the elements and aspects of leadership that we see in these few psukim emphasized here by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yehoshua. And then at the end, we saw a pasuk, at the end of what we did last week, psukim Vav and Zayin, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is mezareis him, he encourages him, chazak ve'ematz, you're supposed to be strong, be courageous. We spoke about the different terminologies. Okay, now we're up to pasuk Ches. So pasuk Ches, if you take a look at the pasuk, might be familiar to you. The pasuk says, "Lo yamush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha." So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yehoshua, the new leader, make sure that this sefer Torah, like the sefer Torah, the regular sefer Torah that we have, never leaves your mouth. The hagisa bo yomam v'layla, you should study it day and night. Leman tishmor la'asos kechol hakosuv bo, so that you will guard it, you will keep and do everything that's written in it. Ki oz tatzliach es derachecha, the oz taskil. Because then you'll be successful, then your path will be successful, and then you'll understand. So it's interesting. You know, here all of a sudden we have this discussion, all these psukim about leadership, about Yehoshua, he's taking them into Eretz Yisrael and he's doing all these things, and here we have, you know, a pasuk about Limud HaTorah. Pasuk about the study of Torah. Many of you might be familiar with the fact that the pasuk, some of the Rishonim, I believe in Shas, quote "V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla," is the source for the mitzvah to constantly study Torah, right? At least for men, to constantly study Torah. We have a mitzvah, "V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla." You're supposed to study Torah day and night, right? Otherwise, you know, we could just learn 5 minutes a day and that's it, right? And call it a day. 5 minutes. We did our 5 minute dose of Torah, and now we're done. But some of the Rishonim, there's a famous Ran in the Dharm, some of the Rishonim say, no, that's not the obligation. The obligation is v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla, which means that every moment that we have free, if we have to make a parnasa, you have to support your family, it's also a mitzvah, so you have to do that. You know, different things. You have to eat, you have to eat, you have to daven, you have to daven. Fine. But when you're not doing those things, right, then we should be learning v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. Right, many people get that, you know, written on their little wood tabletop shtenders, right? That's the famous pasuk that you have, v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. Comes from this, it's a pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua. So that's the goal to study Torah. It's interesting, you know. Why are we emphasizing this for Yehoshua right now? I mean, it's nice. It's like a nice Musar Shmuz. You know, we should be learning. But why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu emphasizing this to, you know, for Yehoshua? So it seems that this is something that's crucial for a Jewish leader. And keep in mind, Yehoshua is a Jewish leader. He's about to embark on 7 years of battles, right? 7 years of war, essentially, to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And then he's going to embark on 7 years of dividing up the land among the Shvatim. I mean, this is going to be 14 years of very busy communal work. And essentially what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is that even though Yehoshua, you're going to be the leader, and you're going to have your hands dirty with all these things, you're going to be busy, you're going to be fighting battles and conquering land, and then dividing the land, and you're going to be busy, you're going to have a lot of tirdus, a lot of tirchos, you're going to have a lot on your mind and a lot on your plate. Nevertheless, Lo yamosh sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha. You can't forget to learn. Right? You can't forget to learn. Even the leader, even the person who's so busy with so many things, can't forget to have their own time to learn, their own time to grow, their own time to study. And it seems that that's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was emphasizing to Yehoshua, that even you, Yehoshua, even you, v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. We're going to see a story a little bit later in Sefer Yehoshua. The Gemara in Brachos elaborates on this story where you see Yehoshua's up all night preparing for battle, and in the morning he comes out and he sees a malach. You know, we're going to come to it, but he sees a malach with a sword, you know, pointing at Yehoshua, and Yehoshua says, you know, who are you? Are you from the enemy? Are you one of us? Who are you? And the malach says, I'm not from the enemy, but I'm coming now. I'm coming now. Why am I coming now? I'm coming now because the whole night You were busy preparing for war. You didn't learn. You didn't learn the whole night. And the Malach has a taina against Yehoshua. He has a claim against Yehoshua that here you were so busy, which you're supposed to be. Right? You're supposed to be busy. But you have to find time to learn also. That even a Jewish leader who's so busy with important things, important matters, right? You know, we're not talking about kleinekeit here. We're not talking about, you know, he wasn't shooting pool or watching TV. Right? Yehoshua was busy with important things. But even so, you have to always make sure to find time to learn. Why? Because Jewish leadership is not just about being a leader. It's not just about being in charge and running the show and then, you know, and delegating and then supervising and strategizing. That's not what Jewish leadership is about. Jewish leadership is about leading the people, leading the flock of Hashem. Right? You're leading the people who are the people of the Ribono Shel Olam. So you have to be steeped in Torah yourself. If you're not steeped in Torah, what kind of leader are you? I remember I heard a shir from Rav Nissen Kaplan, who's one of the Rebbeim in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, right? One of the biggest yeshivas in the world, if not the biggest. So the Mir Yeshiva. So he's a Rebbe there, and he's a very energetic and lively person. He gives he speaks English well. He's Israeli, but he speaks English well. I think he was actually born in America. I think his parents lived here when he was born, and then they moved to Eretz Yisrael when he was young. So and he married also. He married his wife is from England. So his English is very good. So he used to give shiurim for the Americans, you know. And I used to go to some of his shiurim Thursday night. He gave a very nice parsha shiur, and then he would give a halacha shiur and some musa from the parsha. So I used to go Thursday night. So remember, he told a story once. He was very close to a lot of Rashi yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He's one of these types, and he was close to Rav Shmuel Zalman Orbach, and he was close to Rav Yehoshua Neuwirth, who was his talmid. Who wrote the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. He was close to Rav Shach. He was close to many, many Gedolei Torah. And there was one time he said he was learning in Panovich, right, in the yeshiva in Bnei Rak. He was learning in Panovich. And Rav Shach sent him on a fundraising mission, okay? And he said, I don't know, he had to raise funds for something. I don't know if it was for the yeshiva or for some other important cause. And he sent him out, and he sent him with a car and a driver, and he sent him out, and he said, listen, I don't need you to go. And he gave him addresses, people to go to, and I need you to fundraise for this important cause. And he said it was like his schedule was jam-packed. You know, he was running around the country, going from place to place, fundraising, you know, here and there. He's like, he barely had time to eat and drink like a normal human being. It was his schedule was totally packed. He said he got back to yeshiva, and he came to Rav Shach, and he said, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, we were successful and we raised such and such amount of money. And Rav Shach says, great, how much did you learn? And he looked at him like he was crazy. How much did I learn? You took me out of yeshiva. You sent me on a fundraising mission, running around the country like a meshugana, you know, raising funds. It was an important thing. But how much? I barely had time to eat. How much did I learn? So Rav Shach said to him, he said, did you manage to eat? He said, yeah. He said, did you manage to drink? You managed to go to the bathroom when you had to? He said, so you have to manage to learn also. You have to find time to learn. We're hearing a story with Rav Moshe Feinstein also. There was a day that he knew he had a levaya and this and that. And he got up, you know, he got up like 2 hours early in the morning just to learn. Because he knew he was going to have a busy day. So, he had to be able to learn. I remember when I first moved to Baltimore, I saw Rav Moshe Heineman. So Rav Moshe Heineman always davens at the 8:30 minyan. In the Aguda of Park Heights. That's his shul, the Aguda of Park Heights. They have a million minyanim in the morning, and every half hour there's another Shacharis minyan. So he davens at I believe it's the latest minyan, the 8:30 minyan. So when I first moved there, you know, I thought it was interesting. You know, here the Rebbe of the shul davening at the latest minyan, you know, 8:30 minyan. And someone, you know, a couple weeks into my stay in Baltimore, someone mentioned to me, yeah, you know why he davens at the 8:30 minyan? Because he learns from 5:30 to 8:30 every day. You know, he gets there at 5:30 and he learns for 3 hours straight. And this way he can learn benachas, nobody's bothering him. It's 5:30 in the morning, nobody's bothering him. He locks his door. 5:30 to 8:30 he learns. And the rest of the day he's bothered, you know, he's busy. He's busy answering shilas, and he's busy with the Star K, and he's busy with this, and he's busy with that. You know, people calling him from all over the world. So he's busy the whole day. So he learns for 3 hours in the morning, undisturbed. Nobody can bother him. He learns for 3 hours in the morning. And then he's now in chakras at 8:30. So that's, you know, even a gadol, even a person who's a talmid chacham, even a person who's a leader, who's involved in important things, has to find time to learn. That's really the idea here. Okay, so let's look at Pasuk Tes. So Pasuk Tes, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Halotzi v'sicha, did I not command you? Right? Just a couple of psukim ago, just psukim vav and zayin, did I not command you? Chazak ve'ematz, Right? Did I not command you to be strong, to be courageous? Al ta'arot ve'al techas, which are two terms which both seem to indicate some level of fear. Right? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. Ki imcha Hashem elokecha b'chol asher teilech. It says, because Hashem says, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. And wherever you go, Hashem says, I'm going to be with you. It's interesting, you know, the two languages here of al ta'arots ve'al techas. Right? So what are these two terms of don't be afraid? So the Malbim says, he explains these two terms, the Malbim says that there are two types of fear. There's one type of fear where it's the fear of the unknown. You know, I don't know what's going to be. I'm going somewhere, I don't know what it's going to be, I'm nervous, I'm walking in the dark, you know, a person's in the dark, and they're walking, and it's pitch black. They're afraid. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of the unknown. They don't know what's there. When it's light outside, I can see, I'm comfortable, I can see my surroundings, I see where everything is, I'm not nervous. When it's dark, I can't see what's there, so I'm afraid of the unknown. There's no actual threat there necessarily, it could be nothing's there, but I don't know, so it's the fear of the unknown. And then there's the fear of the known, right? I'm driving through a bad neighborhood. I know this is a bad neighborhood. I'm afraid, right? I know. I know what it is. I'm not, I see what's going on here. I know what it is and I'm afraid. So says the Malbim, these are the two types of fear. Al ta'arots v'al techas. Don't be afraid of what you see. And Yoshua's going into battle, right? I'm sure it was nerve-wracking. He's going into battle. He's leading B'nai Yisrael into a new land, you know, battling foreign people. For this land of Eretz Yisrael. So in a sense, there's the fear of the known, but there's also the fear of the unknown. Because here again, you're crossing into an unknown territory, crossing into an unknown land. Now again, we'll talk about it in a minute, and we're going to see a little bit later in the second parashah that he does send Meraglim, he sends a couple of spies. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. But there was a great deal of unknown here. Right? You know, sure, I mean, this is, again, Bnei Yisrael were never in Eretz Yisrael before. I mean, you know, since Yaakov left after Mitzrayim, right? But for all those years, Bnei Yisrael were not in Eretz Yisrael, and here they're coming back. It's an unknown land. It's an unknown territory. So we have the fear of the known, the fear of the unknown. Al ta'arots v'al techas. And he also points out that you see, this is really the third time that we're saying Chazak ve'ematz. We have Chazak ve'ematz in pasuk vav. We have Chazak ve'ematz again in pasuk zayin, and then here in pasuk tes. Halotzi v'sicha Chazak ve'ematz. Did I not command you Chazak ve'ematz? So we have it again and again and again. And the Malbim says here also that there are three different things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is encouraging Yehoshua to be strong about. Number one, dividing Eretz Yisrael. Right? Be strong. Recognize you're going to divide Eretz Yisrael. You have to be strong for that. Number two, keeping the Torah. That's what we just talked about. And number three, to go to battle. Right? Fighting for Eretz Yisrael. Those are three different things. So says the Malbim, for these three things, fighting for Eretz Yisrael, right? Dividing Eretz Yisrael, and making sure that you stay committed to Torah and to the study of Torah, those are three things that you need strength, that you need to be courageous, that you need to be strong about. Those are the three things. And then,
was it one conversation or three separate conversations?
It seems that this is all part of the same conversation. That's what it seems like. Well, we have at the end of the Torah, we do have Chazak ve'ematz also there. Yeah, right. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure if it's the same time as that.
Correct.
This might be something different. Yeah. But here we have three times, and here just in these psukim, I think so. And at the end we say Ki imcha Hashem elokecha b'chol asher teilech. Hashem says this is a pretty good, right? This is a pretty good guarantee here. Hashem says, don't worry, I'm going to go with you wherever you go. I'm there with you. And this is really because Hashem was telling him, you're fighting my battle. Right, this is not your own fight. This is not your own battle. This is a milchemes mitzvah. This is a milchemes mitzvah. Right? This is a milchemes mitzvah. You're fighting a battle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding you to do something. Okay? So you do it. And Hashem says, you don't have to be afraid because I'm behind you. Right? Because I'm behind you. Right? Somebody's going to battle. It's like the soldiers who go to battle and they know they have the artillery, you know, backing them up. Right? They know they have the air force, they have the planes coming in for reinforcements, so they feel secure. Right, they feel secure. Okay, we know we have an enemy here, but look what we have behind us. Right, so that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yehoshua. Ki imcha Hashem elokecha b'chol asher teilech. Of course, you're going into battle. Right, it's normal to be anxious when you go into battle, but recognize that you're going into my battle, which means I'm behind you. Right, when you go into my battle, I'm behind you. I'll take care of you. Right, I remember that T-shirt. I think I mentioned it here once in shul when I was younger. There was a T-shirt that said, "Don't worry, don't worry, America. Right, Israel's behind you with an Israeli Air Force plane, right? Israeli Air Force. Yeah, don't worry, America. Israel's behind you. You know, we got your back. But that's the idea. Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying it's a Melchemes Mitzvah. You don't have anything to worry about. This is a Melchemes Mitzvah. I remember hearing once that in Eretz Yisrael there's a lot of politics and different opinions about going to the army, serving in the army, not serving in the army. It's a hot button topic now in Eretz Yisrael a little bit, and even among the Mizrahi community. So most people go to the army. But there are some, like in the more Chardal community, the Haredi Dati Leumi, that they don't go to the army. They use the Yeshiva Petor and they sit and learn. Like Merkaz Harav, for example. Right? Merkaz Harav, they sit and learn for, I don't know, 5-10 years. They're sitting and learning. And they're not going to the army right away. But then they go to the army. Right? After they sit and learn for 5-10 years, then they go to the army. And the way it was described to me was that when they go to the army, they hold it to Milchemes Mitzvah. As they go into the army, they're learning for 10 years. Then after they learn for 10 years, it's time to go to the army, but it's a Melchemes Mitzvah, right? This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Melchemah, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's army. So when you have that attitude, that it's a Melchemes Mitzvah, it's a whole different ballgame. This is not just a game here, this is not just a war to conquer more territory. This is a Melchemes Mitzvah, this is a Mitzvah Hashem, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. It's a whole different attitude towards the Melchemah. I'm not saying it halacha l'maisa.
Okay.
Rav Schechter has in some of his svarim he has a couple of pieces where he discusses like these types of topics halacha l'maisa. The fact that Eretz Yisrael maybe has a din of a melech and the melchamas din of a melchamas mitzvah. I don't know. You have to ask Rav Schechter these questions. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm not saying it halacha l'maisa. But I'm just saying what the attitude is. The attitude is certainly an attitude of a Milchemes Mitzvah. I mean, again, either way, it's the IDF, the Tzva Hagana Yisrael, which means that we're the Israeli Defense Forces. So Israel is never the aggressor. Israel is always defending itself against people who are trying to harm it. So defense is always a mitzvah. Right? Habalah Hagarcha Hashkem Lahargo, the Gemara tells us. Someone's coming to kill you, kill them first. Right? So that's not aggression, that's protecting your life, that's protecting your people. So that's what Tzahal's doing. So that's certainly a mitzvah. So that's certainly the case. Okay, yeah.
Question from the Haredi point of view, if somebody is attacking Eretz Yisrael at
right.
this point,
right.
it sounds like it should be an automatic Milchemes Mitzvah.
But yeah.
Haredi might not view it as such.
But again, I don't want to get into the politics, Haredim, Chardal, I don't want to get into all those politics. But, again, if someone's attacking, everyone agrees you have to defend yourself, right? The question is who should defend and how to defend and who should be there. That's a different discussion, but we'll leave that for another time. But it's an interesting point. Okay, so let's go to Pasuk Yud. Now Pasuk Yud is kind of like the transition point here in the Perek, and here Yehoshua turns his attention to the people. And we'll see in a minute to the 2.5 tribes that we spoke about, Reuven, Gad, and half of Shevet Menashe, and he turns his attention to them. So let's see Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud, Vayitzav Yehoshua es Shotrei Ha'am Le'mor. So Yehoshua commands the Shotrei Ha'am. Who are the Shotrei Ha'am? These were the officers, right? The Shotrim, the police force, the officers. These were people who were going to lead the troops, so to speak, into battle, presumably. And he tells them, what should you do? Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ivru Bekerev HaMachaneh, go throughout the camp, right? Go throughout the camp of the Jewish soldiers. Vitzavu es Ha'am Le'mor, and command the nation as follows. Hachinu Lachem Tzeda, prepare your provisions, right? Prepare your food, prepare your provisions. That's normally what Tzeda means, right? Tzeda L'derech, right? Prepare your provisions. Ki Be'od Shalosh Es Yomim Atem Ovrim Es HaYarden Hazeh. In 3 days, Yehoshua says, we're crossing the Yarden. 3 days, we're crossing the Yarden, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. Lavo l'reshes es ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokeichem nosein lachem l'rishta. We're going to inherit the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you as an inheritance. Right? First of all, just before we even get to the psukim, imagine the excitement. Right? Imagine the excitement. Imagine the excitement of these soldiers. Of course they're going to be anxious, they're going into battle. But imagine the excitement of these soldiers that after all these years, hearing the stories of their great-great-great-great-grandfather, Yaakov Avinu, right, who came, left Eretz Yisrael, left Eretz Canaan to come down to Mitzrayim, and hearing all these stories about it, about the 210 years in Mitzrayim, and all the Eser Makos, and the Kriyas Yamsuf, and then the 40 years in the Midbar, and then finally, we're about, Yehoshua says, Chevra, 3 days. In 3 days, we're crossing the Yarden. We're going into Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be ours. Right? Imagine the excitement. Imagine the excitement. It's such an exciting time. Again, you know, of course, anxious, you know, when they're going into battle. But such an exciting time that after all these years, all of this history, right, all of this Masorah and the tradition that these kids grew up with, we're going in 3 days. We're going in, guys. Get ready. Now, it's interesting that, you know, the Mefarshim here grapple with the exact dates and the timeline. And it seems that the Mefarshim come to a consensus that when did we go into Eretz Yisrael? On the 10th of Nisan. They went in on the 10th of Nisan. Okay, what were the 3 days? So in the 3 days, so when Yehoshua is talking here, this was the 7th of Nisan, Zion Nisan.
When did Moshe die?
Good question. Moshe died? Zion Adar. Okay, so Moshe dies Zion Adar. This is the end of Shloshim right now. Right? Right after Shloshim. They wait till after Shloshim. Right? Moshe, everybody's done mourning Moshe Rabbeinu. Shloshim, Yehoshua says 3 days, Chevra. 3 days we're going in. Yud Nisan, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Why they choose Yud Nisan? Why Yud Nisan? So when do we know that Yud... What other significance did Yud Nisan have? Yitzias Mitzrayim was... Well, Yitzias Mitzrayim was Pesach time. When did they do a Yud Nisan?
They took the lamb.
Sel Levei Savo, Sel Abayis, right? On Yud Nisan, they separated the lamb. They separated the sheep. Right? And they put it aside for the Karban Pesach. So here, some of the Mefarshim say, the Malbim explains it, others, that... I'm sorry? That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think the Gemara talks about it. I don't remember offhand. I have to double check. I'm not sure. But in Mitzrayim, they separated the seh. They separated the sheep on Yud Nisan. What did that show? Tremendous courage. Tremendous courage. That in the face of they knew that the Mitzrayim worshipped the sheep, right? And what's going to be the backlash? What's going to be the reaction of the Mitzrayim when we take their quote unquote their god and tie it to the bed and say, we're going to slaughter it in 4 days, right? Yudal at Nisan, we're going to slaughter it, right? So despite that, the threat of reaction by the Mitzrim, nevertheless, we have the courage. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and this is what we do. So on the day of courage, on the day of Yud Nisan, which was the day of courage, that Klal Yisrael had the courage to stand up and say, we don't care what Mitzrayim is going to say, we don't care what Mitzrayim is going to think, we know this is the Ratzon Hashem, this is what Hashem wants, this is what we're going to do, that's the day that you go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because for that you need the same courage. What's going to be the reaction? What's going to be with the people who live there, with the battling armies? Right? People are going to yell. People are going to scream. They're going to fight with us. It doesn't matter. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. This is what we do. And this is Yud Nisan was a time that was especially mesugal. It was a special date for this type of courage, and it was almost like a reward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded us for that Mesiras Nefesh on Yud Nisan that we took the seh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael Yud Nisan. It's also a day of courage.
Did they have mine back then?
Oh, very good, very good. So that's really the next question, right? The next question. So we'll come to the mon in a second. So now, again, obviously within reason, right? We don't expect that people should just go into a dangerous situation and just say, okay, Hashem's going to protect us, right? But here you have clear promises from Hashem, right? Here you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming and saying, don't worry. Right, ki imcha, right, as the pasuk said in pasuk tes, ki imcha Hashem elokecha b'chol asher teilech. Hashem says, don't worry, I have your back. Right, so go in. You have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to be scared of. It's interesting also, just before we get to the man question, the Malbim also discusses, some of the other Mefarshim discuss, that we're about to see in Perek Beis that Yehoshua is going to send some spies to Eretz Yisrael to check things out. So the question is, when did he send these spies? Now it's clear from the psukim that the spies had to travel, 1 day's travel in either direction, and when they were there, they had to lay low for 3 days. So that's 5 days, right? So he couldn't have sent them on Zion Nisan, they wouldn't have been back in time. And it's clear that they came back before, right? So it seems that already before the end of the Shloshim, Yehoshua already sent the spies. It's not clear exactly when, you know, some of the Mefarshim make certain suggestions as to what date Maybe he sent the spies, but it seems clear that he sent them before the end of the Shloshim. They were going to go out. And honestly, Yehoshua didn't know when they were going to come back. He didn't know exactly. He sent two guys in. He didn't know exactly when they were going to come back. But in reality, it's fascinating. Yehoshua didn't really care. He sent the spies because, okay, you know, we should get a report or something. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised and said, don't worry, Yehoshua, I have your back. Wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. Yehoshua says, we don't need the spies. We don't need the report. We're going in anyway. Now, it happens to be that they come back before they enter Eretz Yisrael. Right? That's clear that they do come back and give the report before they enter Eretz Yisrael. But in reality, Yehoshua is telling the people, 3 days, we're going. It doesn't matter if the spies are back or not. Because we don't care at this point. Hashem says, Ki imcha Hashem alokecha. I'm going to be with you. So once you have Hashem's promise, what do you need spies for? What do you need a report for? That's the greatest report that you can get.
3 days.
Very good, very good. So some of the Mefarshim do say that. Some of the Mefarshim say that the 3 days is just like 3 days Har Sinai, Shlosh Smeagbala, right? So some say it's just that, you know, you always need to prepare, right? It's just like when it came to Kabbalah Satorah, we needed to prepare ourselves for 3 days to ready ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah. You're going into Eretz Yisrael, you need to prepare yourself also. Others say, you know, it goes a step further, that no, but meaning this is deeply connected to Kabbalah Satorah. Why? Going into Eretz Yisrael is tied to Kabbalah Satorah. This is all part of one process. Remember, we came out of Mitzrayim, we went to Har Sinai, we're going to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's the process. These are all steps along the road, right? But in order to go to Eretz Yisrael, in the real sense of it, you need the Torah, right? You need the Torah to live in Eretz Yisrael without the Torah. You know, okay, so Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, right, itself, but without the Torah, what is it? Right? You need the Torah to be in Eretz Yisrael. So some say that that's exactly it. That Yadavka Yehoshua told him 3 days, because he wanted the people to think, you know what, this is just like Har Sinai, we got to prepare ourselves for 3 days, because in order to go in, it's just like we said in Pasuk Teslo, Yavosh Tevar Torah Zemipicha. You're going into battle, you're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, make sure you don't forget about the Torah. Right? Make sure you take the Torah with you. And that's, you know, the crucial element of the role of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, in Medinat Yisrael, is so important for us. I mean, listen, we know that there were Zionists throughout time who were not religious, right? Herzl was not religious, and okay, and they had great ideas for Medinat Yisrael. You know, we know Uganda. You know, could have been Uganda also, but Baruch Hashem it wasn't, right? But at the end of the day, you have plenty of people who are Zionistic and not religious, and that's fine. But our brand of Zionism, right? Our brand of Zionism is religious Zionism, is Torah Zionism. We believe in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because that's what the Torah says. It's connected to the Torah. So the Shlosh Yisimei HaGbalah and the 3 days of preparation going into Eretz Yisrael are really tied together. It's one and the same. Because that's what Eretz Yisrael is. That's where the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael lies. It lies in the Torah. Now in terms of the Tzeda L'Aderech, this is very interesting. So Yehoshua tells them, prepare for yourselves Tzeda. Right? What's the language of the Pasuk again? Hachinu Lachem Tzeda. Prepare for yourselves Tzeda. So Rashi says, Yehoshua can't mean food here. Why? Because they still had man. Okay, they still had man. In fact, the Gemara says that they had man until the second day of Pesach. But they had man up until Pesach. Okay, so they had man still. So what do you mean prepare food? You don't use food, you have man. Right? We have it in our canteen. So Rashi says it means weapons. Right? Rashi says it means prepare your weapons, you know, to go in. That's the provisions that we're talking about. The Malbim says it does mean food, but it doesn't mean to collect food. They had the man, but it means prepare it. If you wanted to grind up your food, you wanted, you know, because the man, they could eat it in any sort of way that they wanted. They could bake it, they could do this, they could do whatever they want. So of course you have the food, you have the raw material here, but you want to prepare it, you want to get it ready, so you got to get it ready now. That's how the Malbim understands.
Isn't there a sheet that says the man stopped when Moshe died? No.
I'm sorry?
Isn't there a sheet to some place that said the man stopped when Moshe died?
I don't know.
The water stopped when Miriam died, and something stopped when Aaron died, so I forgot what it was.
Hold on a second. It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Tainis. That's right. So the Be'er, the water stopped when Miriam died. The Mon stopped when Aaron died.
Aaron died. Whatever. I know it stopped one of them.
Well, the cloud stopped when Aaron died. Yeah. And the Mon stopped when Moshe died. So I think the Mon stopped, but maybe they had a stash. I'm not sure. I don't know yet. Right? Yeah. Right, exactly. But the question is, yeah, exactly, that's what I'm talking about, right? That's this Rashi. Right. But here he sees, that's what Rashi says, Harehim mistapkim b'mon shebeklehem. And they had mon apparently they had man stored up. So generally you couldn't store it, but I think at the end, I forget, the Gemara in Kiddushin discusses this, but I can't remember now exactly how it works out, but I think they had the man, at the end they had the man stored up. I'm not sure exactly, I have to look back and see exactly how it worked out. Right, exactly. But that was in the Midbar. That was in the Midbar, yeah. I have to double check. I'm not sure exactly how it worked out. But Rashi is clear that they had the money. The Gemara says they had the money. I have to look back and see exactly how it works out. But that's what Rashi says. The Al-Sheikh has a very interesting explanation here. And he says that the Hachino Lachem Tzeda is almost metaphorical. Right? It's like when someone tells you, you know, you want to go on a trip. You know, just pack lunch. Everything else is taken care of. That's the idea. Everything else is taken care of. All you got to do, you know, pack some snacks. That's it. You know, everything else is done. So that's what Yehoshua was telling the soldiers. You don't have anything to worry about. All you have to worry about is pack some snacks. That's it. You know, pack some snacks, pack your lunch. That's it. Everything else is taken care of. All expenses paid. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. You don't have anything to worry about. Just pack your snacks. You know, so that's how the Al-Sheikh understands the meaning of this. So, okay. Okay, let's see Pasuk Yud Beis. So Pasuk Yud Beis, he comes to the Shvatim. V'la Ruveni, v'la Godi, v'la Chatzi, Shevet HaMenashe. So he comes to these 2.5 Shvatim, Reuven, God, half of Shevet Menashe. Omar Yehoshua, Leimor Yehoshua, turns to them and he says, Zachor es hadavar asher tziva eschem Moshe ever Hashem Leimor. Don't forget, right? Remember the promise that Moshe, or the command that Moshe left you, Hashem Elokechem Maniach Lachem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leaving you this land. Okay? Let's read Pasuk Yedalad, and then we'll come back. Actually, maybe we'll read Tesvav also, and then we'll come back. Nesheichem, Tapchem, Umikneichem, Yeshivu, Ba'aretz, Asher Nasan, Lachem, Moshe, Be'ever, HaYardein. So you, 2.5 Shvatim, Reuven, Gad, Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe, you want to live in Ever HaYardein. We remember the story from the Torah. Right? They wanted to live in Ever HaYardein. Why? They had a lot of cattle. They had a lot of sheep. They wanted to graze there. The grazing land was better. They wanted to live in Ever HaYarden, on the eastern side of the Yarden. So Moshe said, okay. Moshe said, fine, you can do that. Leave your kids and leave your animals there. But, ve'atem ta'avru chamushim lifnei acheichem. But, I want you to come to battle also. Right? Just because you're settling in Ever HaYarden doesn't mean that you get out of fighting. You have to fight with the rest of B'nai Yisrael also. Chamushim. Right? You have to be armed. I want you to come. I want you to come armed. I want you to come to fight. Not only that, but lifnei acheichem. Right? Moshe said, I want you to fight on the front lines. Don't just like stand in the back and, you know, and shoot a bullet here or there. I want you to fight on the front lines. Kol gibore hachayil va'azartem osam, you're going to help B'nai Yisrael conquer Eretz Yisrael. Tesvav, arash yaniach Hashem la'acheichem kachem, until the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows B'nai Yisrael to conquer the land of Israel, just like you have your land in Eber HaYardein. V'yarshu gam hema es ha'aretz, Asher Hashem Elokechem nosein lahem, and they're going to inherit that land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them. V'shavtem le'eretz Yerushaschem, and then, only then, once the land is conquered, then you'll go back to your land. V'yirishtem osa Asher nosan lachem Moshe Eved Hashem Eved HaYardim Mizrach HaShamash. And then you'll inherit that land to the east, right, to the east of the Yardim. Okay? So this is the promise, and we know this promise from the Torah. It's in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Beis. It appears also. It appears again in Sefer Dvarim. Now again, you know, if you remember the story, Moshe wasn't very happy when they first came to him. Right? They came to him and they said, "Okay, we want to settle here." Moshe's like, "What? Are you serious? Right? We're all going into Eretz Yisrael. We're all fighting for Eretz Yisrael. You want to settle here in Eber HaYarden?" And they said, "Yeah, we want to settle here." And they gave him their rationale, you know, with the grazing land. And Moshe reluctantly said, okay, fine, but on condition, right, on condition that you have to fight. And it's interesting, many of us know, that we learn all of the halachos of making conditions in halacha, right? Conditional agreements is all learned from Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven, right? All the halachos, the Gemara learns out, all the halachos from Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven, this condition that Moshe Rabbeinu set up, we learn all the halachos of conditions from here. And Yehoshua is saying, remember this promise, remember your conditional agreement, right? Remember that everything is conditional here upon you fighting. So you're going to get your land, but only if you fight. Okay? It's interesting because, you know, if you contrast the psukim, in the Torah, they promised Moshe that they would remain for the 7 years of fighting. Okay? But here, what does the Pasuk say? Here, the Pasuk says not just the 7 years of fighting, right? But if you look at Pasuk Tesvav again, what does it say? Anashe yaneach Hashem la'acheichem kochem v'yarshu gam heima es ha'aretz. It's the Yerusha v'yeshiva also. It's not just the 7 years of fighting, but it's the 7 years of dividing also. Yeshua is asking them to stay an extra 7 years. Right? Not so simple. But Yeshua is tacking that on. That's not clear in the Pesukim in the Torah. Yeshua is saying, no, I want you to stay for the extra 7 years also when we're dividing the land. And then, what's going to happen? And then you can go. And then you can go. Okay? Pasuk Tes Zayin, what did they answer? Vayanu es Yehoshua lemor, kol asher tzivisanu na'aseh. So they answer Yehoshua and they say, absolutely, 100%. Everything that you're commanding us, we're going to do. Ve'el kol asher tishlochenu ne'lech, wherever you send us, we're going to go. It's fascinating. If you look at the conversation here, when Yehoshua broaches this topic to these 2.5 Shvatim, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, how does he frame it? Right? Whose deal was this, so to speak? Moshe. This is Moshe's deal. Right? Yehoshua says, Zachor es adar asher tziva eschem Moshe eved Hashem lemor. Right? It's almost like Yehoshua is saying, don't blame me for this. Right? This is Moshe. This is Moshe's deal. Remember Moshe's deal? You got to keep Moshe's deal. He's focusing on Moshe Rabbeinu.
Or he's trying to say, well, you know, Moshe, the biggest leader, is the one who told you, and you said you were going to do it. Try to reinforce
okay.
the promise of Moshe.
Right, okay. Right. So okay, it could be that, right? It could be. So Joe's saying maybe it's not an insecurity, right? The way I was saying it was more of like Yoshua's is still a little bit insecure in his own leadership. Remember, he just took over. Moshe Rabbeinu just died. And he's taking over, and here's the new leader coming to 2.5 tribes and saying, okay, guys, you know, everybody come to battle. Even though you're settling on the other side, make sure you come to battle. Remember that promise, right? So on the one hand, you can understand that maybe it's a little bit of insecurity on Yoshua's part as the new leader. But Joe's saying, no, maybe it's not insecurity. Maybe he's just saying, this is heavy business. This is serious business here. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? You don't mess with the promise that you made to Moshe. They're good. Okay? If you understand that it's the insecurity, and that's how some Mefarshim understand it, so the Malbim explains that when they respond, how do they respond? Pasuk Tezayin, Vayanu es Yehoshua lemor kol asher tzivisanu nasa. Whatever you command us, Yehoshua, we're going to do. Essentially, what were they saying? Yehoshua, don't worry. Right? You have the courage to tell us what to do, to tell us what you need, and we're going to do it. We're not just doing this because it's what Moshe told us. Moshe's not here anymore. You're the new leader. Whatever you say, we're going to do. You're it. You're the man. Whatever you say, we're going to do. So in essence, according to the Malbim, they were encouraging Yehoshua and saying, Yehoshua, so be strong. Right, don't blame it on Moshe. Don't say this was Moshe's promise. You tell us what you need to do as the leader. Right? You're the leader. You're telling us what we need to do. And we're going to do it. Right? You're in charge now. That's how the Malbim understands it. If you look at Pasuk Yud Zayin, there's the last two Pesukim here in the Perek. Kol kechol asher shamanu el Moshe, keinishma eilecha. So what do they say to him? They say, just like we listened to Moshe, we're going to listen to you. Again, encouraging him. Right? Don't worry, Yehoshua. We're going to listen to you just like we listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rak yihi Hashem elokecha imach, kasher hayei Moshe. But they put one thing in. They say, on what condition? On condition that Hashem is with you like he was with Moshe. Meaning, if you stay loyal to Hashem, if you do what you're supposed to do, so then, that's it. We're going to follow you 100%. If we see that Hashem is not with you so much because you're not following in Hashem's ways, so then we don't have that promise. It's interesting because, you know, essentially, we see here that, you know, Yehoshua's almost, according to the way the Malbim's understanding, Yehoshua's a little bit nervous. He's a little bit nervous. He's kind of like looking over his shoulder to see, you know, are they approving of what I'm saying? You know, looking behind him. And essentially, what they're saying here is that a leader can't be like that. A leader has to lead, right? If you're doing what's right, if you know what's right, you got to do it, and that's it, right? You got to do it. You can't be looking over your shoulder. You know, what is everybody thinking? What is everybody saying about me? You know, do they agree? Do they not agree? Are they happy? Are they not happy? You can't do that. You have to know what's right. You're fighting for Hashem. You know what's right. You got to do it, and you have to, and don't be afraid of what's going on. Essentially, that's what they're saying. Don't blame it on Moshe. This is you. You tell us what to do and we're going to do it. That's it. Right? Now, of course, it has to be within reason. Right? You can't do things that are unreasonable. But within reason, recognizing that this is what Hashem wants, this is the Ratzon Hashem, this is what we're doing, and that's it. The Rav Chanan Wasserman says, interestingly, he says that before the Pasuk says, before the time of Mashiach, so the face of the leaders is the Pnei Hador ki Pnei Akelev, that the face of the leaders will be like the face of the dog. So what does that mean? So he explains that imagine when a person's walking a dog. So the dog runs ahead, but then what does the dog do? The dog, looks behind to make sure his master is behind him. He runs ahead, but he wants to make sure he's with him. So he says, before Mashiach, that's what the leaders are going to be like. The leaders aren't going to lead. They're going to be leading with one eye behind them to make sure that the people are still okay, that everybody's still happy with them. Like, that's how leaders are going to lead. That's not leadership. That's what the 2.5 Shvatim are saying to Yoshua. That's not leadership. Lead. Right? Do what you need to do. Say what you need to say. That's the idea of leadership. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim also compares leadership to nursing a baby. When a woman nurses a baby, so the more the baby nurses, the more milk the woman produces. That's in the Teva, in nature, that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu set it up, supply and demand. So too, many of the Mefarshim say that when it comes to leadership also, it also depends on the generation. Depends on the door. We have to merit having good leaders. It's not just about them and how they act. That's of course part of it. But part of it also is the merits of the generation. Do we merit good leaders? Like, do we have the schus of having good leaders? Do we want good leaders? Do we daven for good leaders? Do we ask for good leadership? That's also part of what we need to do. And then finally, just a very powerful pasuk to end the parak, pasuk Yud Ches, Kol Ish, and this is this is Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe speaking here. Kol Ish asher yamre es picha velo yishma es devarecha, any person who rebels against your word and doesn't listen to what you say, lechol asher titzavenu, to everything that you tell us, to everything that you tell him, you must, will die. Rak chazak ve'ematz. So you see this powerful lesson that the B'nai Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe are teaching Yahushua. You need to have a strong leadership. Right? Moshe's dead. Moshe passed away. You're the man. Don't blame things on Moshe. Don't say Moshe did this, Moshe did that, Moshe did the other thing. This is you. Whatever you say, we're going to do. Right? And not only that, we're going to punish people who don't listen.
So the Rach Hazak Ve'ematz is now Reuven.
Exactly.
Putting the onus on Yahushua.
Yes, and they're echoing Hashem's words. Because Hashem said three times, Rach Hazak Ve'ematz. And they're saying, that's it. Remember what Hashem told you. Rach Hazak Ve'ematz. That's what a leader needs to be. Okay. So we finished Perek Aleph, and I'm going to touch on next week, we'll begin Perek Beis. I'm sorry? Oh, that's a good question, I don't know. Are they threatening other Shvatim? I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't know. Shkoyach to you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.